time to join the American family Robinson again at a moment when Luke and Myra, for the first time in their 29 years of married life, are suffering a major domestic crisis. Radio careers as the ideal married couple, preoccupation with fans and with business at the Emporium have come between Luke and Myra to the extent that they no longer have time for each other. When Gus Poppelmeyer, rival department store owner, plants a dictaphone in the Robinson home at Birch Falls to obtain discrediting evidence against the perfect couple, Luke and Myra are forced to keep up their public appearance even in private to foil Gus' scheme. Finally fed up, Luke leaves home on the eve of a personal appearance at the Emporium. Myra, left to face the audience alone, breaks down in tears. But Aunt Agatha and Wendy intend to bluff the situation through. Gus, however, learns the truth and determines to use it to his advantage to win customers from the Emporium. While Gus is plotting, we find Luke living at the Hotel Regal in a distant city. He's talking to the desk clerk at the moment. Let's listen.
I suppose you'll have something special in the way of entertainment this weekend.
Well, no, Mr. Robinson. Can't say we will. Usually pretty quiet here over Sundays.
I thought you'd fix up some program for the hotel guests.
Well, you see, I tell you how it is. Traveling men usually try to fix their route so they can get home for weekends. It's just a few of the regulars.
Oh, I see.
Tell you, there's a good movie over at the Orpheum. Why don't you take it in tonight?
I saw it last night.
Oh, well, how about Criterion? They got a Wild Western there.
Oh, I saw that the night before.
Let's see. We got a zoo. In town here.
Hey, well, now that wouldn't be a bad idea. I always used to be crazy about animals when I was a boy.
Yeah, well, I see too many strange specimens in this lobby to get any kick out of a zoo.
Well, there was nothing so odd about those two men you introduced me to last night. They seemed like nice, sociable fellows.
Yeah, sure, they're all right.
Say, I wonder if one of them wouldn't like to join me in a little expedition around town or to see the sights and points of interest.
Hmm? Well, no harm asking.
Well, guess I will. May I use the house telephone, Mort?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead, Miss Robinson. Okay, there you are. You're connected.
Let me have Mr. Pangborn's room, please.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Hello, Mr. Pangborn. This is Mr. Robinson.
Who?
Robinson. Luke Robinson.
Is this a tailor? Say, listen, you promised you'd bring my pants back last
night. No, Mr. Pangborn. I'm not the tailor. This is Luke Robinson.
Luke Robinson?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody by that name. You must have the wrong number.
Why, don't you remember? Mort, the clerk downstairs, introduced us a few nights ago, and we had that interesting chat about Japanese beetles.
Oh, yes. Well, what about it?
Oh, Mr. Pangborn, if you were going to be around the hotel this weekend, I was wondering if maybe you and I couldn't get together and sort of help pass the time. I thought we might go out to the zoo or maybe take a walk.
Sorry, Robinson. I won't be here.
Oh.
I'm catching a train in a few minutes so I can go home and see my family. Maybe we can get together some other time.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Some other time.
Why don't you try Mr. Mitchell in room 732? He's got to spend a weekend here. Family lives in Australia.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a likely prospect. Yeah. Let me have Mr. Mitchell in room 732, please. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Mitchell. This is Robinson, Luke Robinson.
Oh? I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name.
Robinson, Luke Robinson. I'm staying at the hotel here.
Oh, sure. Robinson.
Yes, fact is, I'm sort of at loose ends for the weekend, and I understand you're going to be here, too. I thought, well, we sort of might get together, maybe for a trolley ride or something.
Well, to tell you the truth, old man, I thought I'd take a run over to East St. Louis today. They're opening a new home out there.
Opening a home?
Yeah, a home for friendless animals. I'm in the wholesale dog biscuit lot. Thought it might be good business just to look in and promote a little business.
Oh, yes, I see.
Sorry, old chap. Any other time? By the way, mister.
Yes? What is it?
You don't happen to own a dog, do you? I can stock you up on rations, cheap, wholesale price.
No, Mr. Mitchell, I'm sorry. I haven't any dogs.
Too bad. Yeah. You really ought to. Man's best friend of the dog is what I always say. Well, so long.
Goodbye. Home for friendless animals. Well, that's where I belong.
Beg your pardon, Mr. Robinson, what's that?
Oh, nothing more. Say, You sure there's nothing doing around town this weekend?
Gosh, now let's see. Yes, a Glee Club concert over at the auditorium, the State Normal School.
Glee Club concert.
Yeah, it might be pretty good. They're going to have what they call a Stephen Foster evening, you know? They're going to play all the old favorites, like Old Folks at Home and My Old Kentucky
Yes, I know, and Home Sweet Home.
Yeah, no, Foster didn't write that. It was written by another fellow named...
Well, whoever wrote it, I don't want to hear it. Home. Ah.
Say, look, Mr. Robinson, there's a fellow over by the cigar counter you might be able to get together with over the weekend.
Who? That man in the gray suit?
Yeah, that's...
What's his name?
That's Mr. Snaggle.
Snaggle,
yeah,
uh-huh.
He's a very nice fellow, Snaggle. He's in the wholesale fish business.
Well, I don't care what business he's in. If he's somebody I can pass the time with, bring him over here.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Snaggle. There's Mr. Snaggle.
Oh, hello there, Mark. Houseboy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Snaggle. Look, Mr. Snaggle, I want you to meet Mr. Robinson. He's a new guest here at the hotel.
How do you do, Mr. Snaggle?
Yeah, it's a pleasure. We old-timers at the Regal always like another bridge player.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not very good at bridge. I'm afraid I can't meet the requirements there.
Like something stronger, eh? Well, I guess we could fix you up there all right. Maybe a little poker next week.
Why, yes. Well, but to tell you the truth, it's what to do with myself this week that's got me worried.
Excuse me, will you, gents? The people want to register.
Oh, sure, certainly.
What
Sorry.
You got in the way of a double room and a bed?
Come on over here, Robinson. Let Mark check in some business.
Cigar, Mr. Snaggle?
Well, now, don't put me over court.
That's no, what thanks. Happened last Too soon after dinner. Spoil my appetite.
Well, I find eating here at the coffee shop, it's hardly worth cultivating an appetite.
Yeah, food's terrible.
See,
awful.
Look, Mr. Snaggle, if you're not doing anything... What do you say you and me go out and have dinner over at a new place they just opened on the other side of town? I think they call it the Rotisserie.
Yeah, sure. Sounds all right, but
all right.
The only thing is, I promised my sister I'd be over for a home-cooked meal at her home tonight.
Oh.
She and her husband live over on Woodlawn Avenue.
Home-cooked dinner. Oh, what wouldn't I give for even a boiled egg cooked in a home kitchen?
You get more than a boiled egg when my sister cooks dinner.
Yeah.
What a cook. I tell you, her corn fritters are poems. Ah, poems.
Oh, I just love a good corn fritter.
But you haven't tasted anything until you try my sister's fried chicken and gravy. What tenderness. What taste.
Oh,
of course, some prefer her baked ham and candied sweets. But I vote for the roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. Ah, let me tell you, when a man bites that, it's new.
Your sister sounds very hospitable. I should think she'd just have loads of company.
Oh, nobody would ever refuse an invitation to dinner at my sister's house.
No, but
they come flocking.
Yes, I wouldn't mind flocking in that direction myself.
And I better not be late. Time was on my way. Nice to have met you, Robinson. May see you Monday.
Oh, Snaggle.
Well?
I haven't anything else to do. Would you mind if I sort of walked a piece with you?
Well, no. You can come along if you want to.
Thanks.
Better make it snappy. Yeah. I don't want to be late for dinner.
All right. Which way, Mr. Snaggle?
Well, let's cross the street with the cop.
Yeah.
Traffic at this hour is terrible. Everybody going home for dinner.
Yeah, lucky stiffs.
Okay, Robinson, step lively. Lights changed.
Yeah. My, the drivers in this town certainly don't believe in slowing down around corners, do they?
Yeah, not these birds. They go practically in a straight line like homing pigeons. Let's dodge around the corner out of this crowd.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, not at all. I guess I wasn't looking where I was going.
Oh, just a minute. You dropped your newspaper. Here.
Thanks. Wouldn't do to lose that. My wife likes to do the crossword puzzle. Good night.
Good night. Good night, sir. My... Nice section of town this is. Mighty pretty trees. I should say most of these homes date back to around 1910 with those bay window effects, huh?
Yep, typical American residential section.
Yeah, that looks like a typical American family sitting down to dinner over in this house there, doesn't it? Yeah, looks like a typical American dinner, too. Very cheerful.
Yeah, come on, Robinson. I've got to hurry and no time to rubber.
Oh, sure.
Certainly is a difference between these houses and the kind of life they live over in Europe these days.
Yeah. Nice to know that the bomb shelter isn't a part of our national life. Not yet, anyway.
And, boy, I sure hope it never is. We turn left on this block.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about this talk of invading this country? Any chance of it?
Well, I don't suppose anybody knows. Anything can happen, but I understand the dictators are pretty well agreed that conquering this country would be an inside job rather than by invasion.
Oh, you mean fifth column stuff?
Yeah.
Foreigners and those different buns and societies?
Oh, I can't get very excited about the petty little buns. They're too obvious to be dangerous. And after all, most aliens came to this country to escape the things that Europe represents.
Well, who would do the inside work for the dictators here?
Well, for one thing, the American demagogues who try to stir up class hatred for the sake of crooked politics. They're the fellows who discredit the name of democracy.
Well, I'm with you there, Robinson.
But the real danger comes from spineless Americans who expect the government to do everything for them.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Hitler and the other dictators were darn well aware of people like that and count on them.
Oh, phew, my boy. I'll bet that was a spy trying to get me then.
And he almost did if you hadn't jumped. Cars get you from every angle on this corner.
Oh, yeah. And, Mr. Snigel, speaking of jumping, I think it's pretty important we Americans get the jump on these same forces we've been talking about inside the country, in addition to building a defense against invaders.
Yeah, but I was reading how Hitler counted on revolution as the way to bring this country into his power without an invasion. What can we do about it?
Well, the first target ought to be the men and women who want to make the state supreme and set up a kill-your-opposition party.
That's right. We ought to do something about the people who want to make a sort of permanent ruling class out of politicians.
Seems to me a sort of peaceable counter-revolution against such ideas would put a crimp in Americans who sneer at our spirit of individualism. In other words, we've got to enlist all true Americans in a drive against corruption and apathy.
Yep, you said it, Robinson. Well, I'm going in here and serve a little time at the dinner table. This is my sister's house. This is where I'll leave you.
Oh, nice-looking house. Yeah. I like that sun porch effect on the side there.
Yeah, they keep it up good, too.
Ah, yes.
Well, nice to have seen you, Robinson.
Oh, Mr. Snigel, being all alone in town and everything, I wonder if maybe you couldn't prevail upon your sister to fix me up for dinner and the
night.
Now,
wait a minute.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. A man likes a little home atmosphere after hanging around the hotel all week, and I thought perhaps if I paid your sister hotel prices, she might be able to...
Nah. My sister says I'm always bringing some loafer home to dinner, and she told me to cut it out.
Oh.
It makes her sore. So long, Robinson. See you again sometime.
So long, Mr. Snigel. Well, that's the way it is, I suppose. That's the way it is.
Hey, look out.
I'm sorry, Sonny. I didn't see you coming along.
Why don't you look where you're going, mister?
I don't know where I'm going.
Well, why don't you go home?
I can't go home. Look at me well, Sonny. You see standing before you a fool.
Oh, one of them guys, huh?
Yeah.
I know. Your name's Napoleon. Well, so long, Napoleon. Give my regards to Josephine. Yeah. Hey, fellas, guess who I just seen? A guy from the nut house.
Maybe Luke is beginning to feel that he was not very intelligent to leave Myra and his nice, comfortable home. But will he be able to swallow his pride and go back? And what is happening to the Emporium back in Birch Falls, where Gus Poppelmeyer is plotting the exposure of the ideal couple's rift? Listen to our next program, and until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Marjorie Bartlett and Douglas Silver, and presented by the National Industrial Council.